time measured out my days. Life carried me alone. In my soul I yearned to follow God, but knew I'd never be so strong. I looked hard at this world to learn how heaven to run where I began, where human effort is all in vain. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road to nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. And the battles I would face, forever running but losing this race, were it not for grace. So here is all my praise, expressed with all my heart, to the friend who took my place and ran a course I could not start. And when he saw in full just how much his would cost, Jesus still went the final mile between me and heaven, so I would not be lost. Were it not for grace, I can tell you where I'd be, wandering down some pointless road nowhere, with my salvation up to me. I know how that would go. And the battles I would face, forever running but losing this race, were it not for grace. Forever running but losing this race, were it not for God's grace.
Thank you, Brother Gary. Were it not for grace, I don't know where I'd be either, amen? And if we be honest with ourselves tonight, if it were not for God's grace, you don't know where you would be. And we all been down that road of a pointless life. And there came a time in my life where I realized that the road and the path that I was on was not where I wanted to be, in the direction that it was taking me. And there's so many times in life that I said it earlier, Wednesday night, sometimes we have to just thank the Lord that We don't really appreciate what we have until we can really look back and thank God for where he has brought us from to where we are, even in life today. And we learn so much from him and how much we should appreciate what God is doing. Aren't you glad that God is in control? And he knows everything about us. It doesn't take him by surprise. And I'm certainly glad that this old book still holds true. I want to share some things with you tonight that God has impressed upon my heart. There are many ways I thought about starting this area of scripture, but if you would, we'll start out by beginning to go to the text in which I want to refer to, and I try to bring it all together to where it would be a help and a blessing to you tonight. I want you to take your Bibles, if you would, if you're able to stand comfortably. You can stand, and we're going to turn over to Proverbs chapter number 19 and verse number 20. I want you to hold your horses, and we're going to try to introduce this tonight that I believe would be a blessing to you as it has been to me. Proverbs chapter 19 and verse 20. And it says this in verse 20, "Hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end." There are many devices in a man's heart. Nevertheless, the counsel of the Lord, that shall stand. Amen. Father, thank you again for tonight. We thank you for your blessings. God, we thank you that it is grace that we're saved, grace that we're kept, grace that is shown in our lives every day, and it's because of you. And I'm certainly thankful for that tonight. I pray, dear God, as we meet here in this place, that you would give us what you would have us to hear that would be a blessing to us, that we might better benefit from counseling in our lives, whether we receive it or whether we give it, that it might be honoring to those that will be recipients, and it would be a way of honoring you that would please you, because you've instructed us that it's something that we ought to have in our lives. I pray you bless now, speak to our hearts in a special way, and we'll be careful now tonight to give you all the honor, the praise, and glory. And God, as I stand here tonight, if there be one without Christ tonight that's not sure of their home in heaven, that this would be the day and this would be the night that they would make that decision for you before it's eternally too late. We ask these things now in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to start prefacing tonight about something that I always like to do is to share with parents, I believe, things that are important to me when it comes to my opportunity to have to preach or to have to teach, especially our young people. And I want to preface and share some things again tonight that we've talked to our teenagers about in the last few months. And it has to do with godly counsel. Oh, amen. And I believe if we want them to be recipients of godly counsels, I believe that us as teachers or leaders or parents, grandparents, that are some of you here tonight, or even teachers or someone in the grocery store, someone in your life, someone in your family, an aunt, an uncle, every one of us have opportunity to give counsel. Amen. And I believe that the counsel that we ought to give, and anyone that we're counseling them with, it ought to be godly counsel. Because if anything is going to stand, as the scripture that we just read, anything that's going to stand the test of time is going to be godly counsel. Right. Amen. Amen. And I've asked our young people to come again tonight, and I want to share it this way. I'm going to ask my Sunday school class to come up that they did last time, and I want to start it out this way because I want to make another, kind of like another injection into something that I believe that would be helpful to us as they come and make their way up here, so somebody can be in the middle, so one person can be the center of attention, amen? Who wants to be that? We'll let Miss Julianne be, since she's the last one coming up. We'll let Miss Julianne be the center of attention. Because what I want us to see tonight, as we talked about it the last time, Julianne is standing in, standing at the threshold of making decisions in her life every day. And every one of us can be in the center of life, and we are surrounded by a pressure. We're just surrounded by decisions. We're just surrounded by something or somebody that wants our attention and wants to have an influence in our lives some way, some form, or some fashion.
So what I've done, we did the last time, we're going to ask Mr. Gregory to stand over here. Her brother is going to be at her back. He's got her back. Amen. We're going to have Terrell come over here on this side. Joshua can stand on this side. And what I want them to do, and they didn't do it well the last time, so I won't put them too much on the spot. I want them to be a voice that's crying or a voice that's speaking out to Julianne about something in her life or the decision that she needs to make, because every one of us are faced with something that wants to have and abide for our attention. Amen. Gregory is going to represent that person that was there the last time we talked about wants to have Julianne come to college there at USC. Amen. Joshua is going to be that person that's pulling on her arm and say, don't go to USC. I want you to go to Bible college. Amen. So Joshua, you got to be at it. Amen. Terrell is going to be over here and say, don't worry about none of that. I'm going to be that person that's going to come and sweep you off your feet. Take you, be your knight in shining armor. Amen. He don't seem too happy about that either, brother. He didn't seem joyful in giving that 10% this morning either, right? Amen. And her brother there is going to be that voice that's speaking to her. Don't listen to them. We're going to go and do something mom and dad told us not to do. All right. So we have all of those things going on in Julianne's life, right? Y'all with me so far? Now, I want you to think about it from the adult perspective. We've always talking about our young people, but what about us as adults? What is it that we're facing in our lives? Amen?
Amen.
First of all, if I could teach this tonight or want to instruct you when it comes to counseling, what are you going to do when it comes to your finances? Amen. What are you going to do when it comes to your friendships with the world and people that are in the world? Amen. What are you going to do when it comes to your spiritual life and the decisions that you need to make in your life when it comes to spiritual things? What are you going to do when the kids are not behaving the way that you think that they ought to? Where are you going to get your counseling from? Because if we're going to give good counsel, we ought to be recipients of good counsel. You can't give something that you don't have. You can't do something that you're not aware of doing. How are we going to ever encourage them to seek godly counsel when we don't seek godly counsel? So let me preface it this way, because that's the way we want to look at it tonight. Because every one of us is faced with decisions and choices in our lives. But what I want to say also tonight, when we are faced with it, see, God is over here, as we said the last time. God is over here. He's not going to beckon. He's not going to holler. He's not going to try to compete with all of these things that are going on in your life. God wants you to get to a point in your life where you realize the only person, the only thing that's going to help me is going to be God. And what God wants us to do, as we said the last time, I believe that God wants us to surrender our heart, our desire, and seek him what his will is for our lives. So he's not going to fight. He's not going to tour. And it's almost like when God speaks, it's like a small, still voice.
Amen.
And you have to be able to recognize and know that God doesn't shout. God doesn't try to compete. But God does speak in a mighty way. And normally in a Christian's life, it is in a small, still voice. So my question to you tonight, if he speaks, what are you going to do?
Amen, Pastor.
What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because he will. He will speak.
That's right. He will.
So what are you going to do? Thank you, young people. You may be seated.
Amen.
And let me say this tonight. When we look at counseling, when that small still voice speaks to us, what are we going to do?
That's good, Pastor.
How are we going to know that it is God that's speaking to us? Because our text tells us, first of all, let's look at it again, and we want to step down through here and give you some principles as I try to share with them. It says, hear counsel and receive instructions that thou might be wise in the latter end. There are many devices in a man's heart, Because I believe because there are so many devices in a man's heart, we got to decide what it is, who it is, and what we're going to follow. In other words, we want to know that what we're doing and the decision that we've rendered from God speaking to us, we want to make sure that it is God that's speaking and not the devil. Because our heart, as we tell our young people, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, and who can know it? You can make up your mind to do something, but it may not be God that's speaking to you about doing it that way. So in other words, I want to be confident. I want to be confident that what I'm hearing, and I want confirmation that it's from God. Because we want our young people to know God's voice. We want them to confirm. How do they confirm that it's God that's speaking? One of the ways that God has clearly told us throughout scriptures that we ought to seek counsel. Amen. Seek godly counsel. So we're making sure that we're getting God's confirmation. We're getting God's confidence. We're getting God's counsel, because that's the way that God wants us to do things. And there are many young people today, even us as adults, are still reaping what we sowed in our earlier part of our lives and the decisions that we made. And they were not godly decisions. And we didn't seek godly counsel when we made the decision, because we made up our mind before we even didn't even seek it. But we made up our mind what we were going to do, irregardless of what somebody else would tell us that we ought to do. And we're living it out today because we made that mistake. I hope it is your desire tonight that our young people, we can help them and save them from some mistakes in their lives. Amen. And I've told them, it's not to say, and I'm not going to tell them, that they're going to be perfect and not make some wrong decisions. But there's some principles that we can go to in the Word of God that would help them and would help us tonight, so that we can give godly counsel, because we know how to give godly counsel. Because we're spending the time that we ought to in the Word of God, that we can give it out because we believe and we know that this is what God says that a person ought to do. I think about Psalms 1 and verse 1. It says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. His leaf shall also shall not wither, but whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Because that's what we want in our Christian life. That's what we want our young people to see. I want to share tonight, again, some principles that we, when studying in our lesson, when we're talking about the lessons of discovering their destiny. And I want to reference it to you tonight, this lesson that came about our young people. I get them to help me out again. The lesson began, we're talking about tight ropes. What it says, tight ropes, safety net, and what, young people?
Stupid people.
Say it together.
Stupid.
That was the setting, because that's what happens when we don't seek godly counsel.
Right.
Godly counsel, to look at it this way, when I think about Sam Davis a couple of weeks ago when he talked about, I was thinking about it this way, it's a warning sign that God has told us that we need to get godly counsel. Yeah. It's like being a tightrope walker would get on the tightrope and walk across but wouldn't put down the safety net. How much sense would that make? But yet people do the same thing when it comes to godly counsel.
That's right.
We don't revert to the safety net that we have that's going to be a help to us to make the right decision, because we ought to want something that we can fall back on, that we know that we can depend on, that's going to be a help to us, and that's godly counsel. It would be like the tightrope walker getting out there, walking across because of his selfish pride, and fall and kill himself. Because they did not put down the safety net when they could have done that.
That's right.
And that's what we do sometimes when it comes to godly counsel. How many times have we made decisions to do something that's been contrary to the Word of God?
Amen.
We know what God says about it, but I believe, as we say, I believe God would have me to do that. Mm-hmm. Let me say this tonight. The counselor that your young people could go to, I consider it an honor and a privilege to teach your young people.
Amen.
Because I look at it this way. I don't want to tell them something, first of all, that I wouldn't do myself. Mm-hmm. I don't want to influence them in the wrong way because I consider it a privilege, but you have a great opportunity to counsel them in a way that's going to be beneficial to them in their lives, not just today, but it says in the lateral end, because they're going to be faced with making decisions all their lives.
Right.
So we don't want it just to be for the day. We want it to be for the future as well. So I want you to think about it tonight. We want to try to share some of these principles that are here. I want you to think about it. Proverbs 20 and verse 18 says this: every purpose is established by counsel, and with good advice make war. Psalms 1 and 1 verse 1 says this: blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. Psalms 1:1, where no counsel is, people fall, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Proverbs 11 and verse 14. Proverbs 15 and verse 22, without counsel, purpose is disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 12 and verse 15. There is no wisdom, nor understanding, nor counsel against the Lord. Proverbs 21 and verse 30. So in other words, don't be what?
Stupid.
People.
Amen.
Counsel is just getting advice, and it has a purpose for getting it. Counsel, a godly counsel or advice, is the safety net that undergirds your decisions. It's what we're talking about to our young people before you get to the mistake zone. The net is there. The counsel is there. Get it so that you don't fall into the mistake zone and make bad choices. Godly counsel is the last warning sign that God has given us when it comes to making the right decision. Godly counsel is the final confirmation that God is leading in your decision or leading you in the direction that your heart is taking you. It is God's way of proving himself to you. It is his way to safely, or the safest way to abundantly know for sure you're doing the right thing. That is how God works in our lives. And that's why the counsel is so important. What do you do after God speaks? God says that we need to confirm or get confirmation that he is the one that is speaking. So we see here, what do you do? One thing that you ought to do is get good godly counsel. You know, you're going to get either godly counsel or you're going to get ungodly counsel. And one of the examples where we were using with our young people when it comes to making godly counsels, we go back to 1 Kings, and we won't turn there because there's some areas we want to cover. But we think about Jeroboam, right? Was this morning class we were talking about? Jeroboam was faced, or Rehoboam, was faced with making a decision. Instead of him listening to the older group or older crowd of men that were the advisors to his father, he chose to listen to those that were of his age, those that he grew up with.
That's right.
And what I share with our young people today, one of the most dangerous things in their lives is to get counsel from somebody that's your same age. Because most of them don't know enough about life and what goes on to be a good counsel to you.
That's right.
They're struggling with the same things that you're struggling with. And let me tell you what they tell you, just like they told him. They gave him good wrong advice.
That's right.
They didn't give him good godly counsel. And that's what happens when young people listen to the wrong crowd and follow the wrong people when it comes to godly counsel. And I said this to them because that was in the lesson as well. I want you to think about it tonight. It's amazing how ungodly counsel always find you.
Yeah.
Amen.
But see, godly counsel, you have to find it.
Right.
When Eve sinned in the garden, she didn't have to go looking for the serpent.
Right.
He came looking for her.
That's right.
He found her to deceive her into doing something that was contrary to what God told her and her husband not to do. But if you want godly counsel, you have to seek after it. You have to go to somebody that you believe and know that they would give you good godly counsel. So who are those people or who are those persons in our young people's lives that's going to give them good godly counsel? The first person and the person that's got the greatest responsibility in giving godly counsel to young people is their parents. It's amazing to me how I didn't realize what mom and dad told me that was the right thing to do, even though they weren't godly Christians, until I got older that I realized that they knew what they were talking about. And it wasn't anybody that was the same age as me that told me that. I had to learn that through some bumps and bruises. Amen?
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
But that's what usually happens. Mm-hmm. They would tell you, young people, oh, you don't know nobody telling you what to do. You 18 years old now. Aren't you tired of somebody telling you what to do? And they start telling you that, you know what? You need to cut them loose like a bad habit. You should never let anybody lead you and give you direction that's going to be contrary to your parents. The Bible still tells us, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. For a long life shall you have because of that. That's contrary to the things of God. And that's what happens. When Jeroboam got ungodly counsel, as I was sharing with the young people this morning, notice what the Bible says in Rehoboam. I keep saying Jeroboam, Rehoboam, but it was Rehoboam.
Amen, Pastor.
The Bible tells us it was his defeat. Mm-hmm. And it says in 2 Chronicles that he did not set his heart to seek after God. Nowhere in that passage you could find that Rehoboam sought after God. But it's still prevalent to me when you think about it, when it says that he consulted with the elderlies there, when the consultant has the same idea of seeking counsel. And the advice that they gave him was that if you would serve these people, they would serve you forever. Because that's what he ought to do. Because that's good godly counsel. That's good stuff. And if we're going to make right decisions, and even us as older people, if we're going to help them, we got to be able to help ourselves. 2 Chronicles and verse 12 says, 2 Chronicles 12, verse 14 says this, and he did evil because he prepared not his heart to seek the Lord. Proverbs 1 and verse 25 says this, but ye have set nigh all my counsel and would none of my reproof. Mark it down. Godly counsel will only come from people who unselfishly want God's perfect will for their lives. You won't find good counsel in those that are not walking with God. It is impossible to find it. Because when they're not walking with God, they can't give you something that they don't have. I want you to think about three principles tonight. Why do you need counsel?
That's good.
You might wonder, if God is leading me, why should I get advice about it? Mm-hmm. It's simply about three key principles that I believe is so important. We've already mentioned one, the principle of confirmation. You want to be confident or receive a confirmation that what you are doing is what God would have you to do. The devil will wreak havoc on you when you don't seek after God, because he can speak to you as well.
Yes, sir, he can.
Because the heart is deceitful again and desperately wicked. Who can know it? We need to be planted like that tree by the rivers of water. Rather, he will easily uproot and blow you away because you don't have yourself firmly fixed in the things of God. The devil will come along and make sure it won't last. So we want the principle of confirmation. You need to collaborate wisdom with your parents, your pastor, or spiritual leaders to confirm God's leading in your heart and to prove insight on how to best follow that leading, because God will show you if you desire to know it.
Amen, Pastor.
I am so thankful tonight that God has never failed to give us what we've asked for.
Amen.
He never has. It may not have been when you wanted it, but he's always given you what you needed. And I believe with all my heart, like I was telling our young people, I cannot express it enough that I believe with all my heart that any time that I've ever sought after God for something I was not sure of doing, he showed me what I needed to do.
Amen.
It's amazing.
Amen.
Miss Diane was sharing some things with me this morning that was such a blessing. Because when God is working, it's amazing the confidence that you have because of who he is.
Right.
See, we fail a lot of times to just look at the little things that God does. Because we're so busy focusing on the negative, because you know what? That is nothing but the devil.
That's right, Pastor White.
That is nothing but the devil, because that's the direction that he wants to lead. He doesn't want you to follow God.
That's right.
He don't want you to believe that God is doing anything productive in your life, because God has never failed at anything that he's doing in your life to be something that was not needful for you.
That's right, Pastor White.
And counseling is something that you need to confirm that it's God's leading in your life. So we see confirmation is one of those principles, principle of godly confirmation. How about this? The principle of consideration.
Yes.
The principle of consideration here that he's talking about in your life, God has given you key authorities who love you, who pray for you, who know you and perhaps even understand you better than you do yourself. And we could say this to the young people, but what about us as adults? See, God has given us these authorities, the wisdom they need to guide you. The Bible also calls this understanding or perceptions. Your parents have the amazing God-given perception that you must trust to listen to. Your pastor also has that. And a lot of times as Christians, we don't want to go to our pastor.
That's right.
Because we don't want to hear what he has to say.
Right.
It's amazing to me. But I say this for every preacher that ought to be, when it comes to counsel, it ought to be from this old book. Because
right.
Let me say this, because if he ain't giving it to you from this book, then he ain't the right counsel either. Because it doesn't release him of his responsibility no more than it does to you as a parent. Because if he's going to give it, it ought to be based on the word of God. Because that same still voice, that same Holy Spirit that's within him ought to be that same Holy Spirit that's within you. So if he's going to confirm it, it ought to, what did I say the C was?
Consideration.
Consider the fact that God's authority in your life, adults, is your pastor.
Yes.
It could be a good godly deacon. It could be a good man of God. It could be a former pastor. It could be a good brother in the Lord that's been living for God for years. Because they're there. But you know what? You won't get it, because a lot of people, when I say you got to find it, you got to make the time
to
find that person that's going to help you to know that you're following God's leading. Because it's just not going to come. How many times have you ever called your pastor and asked him about something that you're having problems with?
That's good. That's good, Pastor White.
How many times you ever called Brother Serge and asked him about something? How many times have you called Brother Hall?
Mm-hmm.
How many times have you called Mrs. Dawson?
Amen.
How many times have you called Miss White?
Amen.
They'll never know that you need some help in something, because most of us, we all would be honest, most of us as men, we're too proud to admit that we don't know it all. And our wives remind us all the time, amen. Yes, they do. But you know what the Bible says? There's safety in a multitude of counselors.
Amen.
You know what? It's nothing wrong with listening to your wife, because if she's walking with the Lord, that same Holy Spirit that you have within you is the same one that's within her. And I trust my wife in a lot of this. How many of your husbands, just be honest, you've made so many mistakes that sometimes your wife reminds you, if you'd have just listened to me. Amen?
Amen.
Or wives, let's put it on the other foot. How many times if your husband said, you know, you said, I wish I had listened to him. It would have kept me from making some mistakes. So godly counsel can come in many ways. And we have to be willing to recognize that.
Amen.
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 So there ought to be some godly confirmation, but there ought to be some godly collaboration, because that Holy Spirit will guide you. The Spirit that leads you to one conclusion will not lead a multitude of other godly counselors to different conclusions. But if we don't want to hear it, we'll never get it.
That's right, Pastor. That's right.
It's amazing how a lot of people struggle with that. Mm-hmm. Did you hear what I said?
Yeah.
That same Holy Spirit won't lead a multitude of counselors to different conclusions.
That's good.
He won't. I believe that with all my heart. Because if it was not true, I don't believe that God would tell us the importance of getting it. And I know his spirit is not divided.
That's right.
This old book.
Yes, sir.
I'll tell you the truth. In summary, let's put it this way. He will use godly counsel to confirm his guidance. He has ordained godly authority for your own protection.
Right.
He knows you can easily deceive yourself. Wow. So how do we get godly counsel? Let me tell you two ways you don't get it.
Amen.
First of all, so that you know when you get it.
That's good.
Number one,
that's good.
That I said to the young people, don't refuse.
Ah.
Not don't refuse, but don't, what did it say, Joshua?
Fake it.
Don't fake it.
Don't fake it.
That's what I wanted to say.
Yeah,
they've been paying attention, amen?
Amen.
Joshua said, don't fake it. Well, what do we mean when we say don't fake it? Here's what happens a lot of times. Tell us, Joshua. But you didn't.
Amen.
And a lot of people will do that. Say, Pastor, I prayed about it, and I believe this is what God would have me to do. And you ain't prayed about it? Not one bit. So you're faking it. In other words, you're just lying about it. But like I told the young people, I can't tell you that you didn't pray about it, because I don't know whether you did or not. But it's not going to benefit you to fake it like you did it when you know that you didn't do it. And to tell him that you prayed about it, but if it don't match up to this, I keep going back to this young man kept saying, why you keep going back to this old book? Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not lie.
Amen.
That's good counsel.
Yes,
right.
So it is, Pastor.
Amen.
Amen.
So you ought not fake it. What else you ought not do, Joshua?
Force it.
Force the counsel. How many of us, what we do when we fake it, we act like we did it when we didn't do it, but we force the counselor to agree with us when we ought not do that? And here's what happens. How many of you ever known, been part of, live in, dealt with controversy in your relationship with your in-laws? You know what? You know how a lot of it starts? It's when you, as the marriees, get married and you don't have the blessings of your parents.
There we go, Pastor. There we go.
And most of the time, what happens is you force the parents to grin. What we call, not grin. What is it? What is the word? To grin it and bear it.
Grin and bear it.
Grin and bear it.
They act like they like it.
They really don't. And so what they end up doing in it is just, just, oh, know that it ain't right. But you know what? What it does is just cause all kind of issues, families fall out, kids raise their grandkids, the parents can't be around them. They get in arguments, you fight and bicker over everything. You hate your, you don't get along with your in-laws. It just creates so many problems. Because you force them to accept what you're doing because you didn't seek them really for counsel. Because you're already telling them what you're going to do that you believe that is God's will for you to do. Mm-hmm. You fake it and you force it. And that's not godly counsel. That's not how it works. So that's how we know that it don't work. That's right. Amen. So that's how we know two ways that it doesn't work. And it doesn't work that way. So we refuse to fake it. We refuse to force it because you put the counselors in a bad position, insisting on approval for a decision you already made. Really, godly counsel is the exact opposite of what I've just described, and it is one of God's quickest ways to verify your true heart and direction. Wow. So that's not the way to do it. So how do we do it? How do we do it? First of all, we need to redefine godly counsel. In other words, we need to go back to the principle where it says a multitude of godly counselors. In other words, the Bible says this in Proverbs 11 and verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Without counsel, purpose is disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So I want to redefine. In other words, the multitude of counselors, as we said already, may have gotten ahead of ourselves a little bit, but we redefine it because what we want to find is the faithful Christian who is walking with God.
Amen.
That's going to help me to make the right decision.
Right.
And a multitude of counselors, there is safety. There is safety. I told the young people, it's amazing how many people that would help us if we ask. It starts with the pastor. It could be, as we said, it could be friends. It could be a good godly friend. It could be another sister in the Lord who's growing in the Lord, and you know it and you see it. It's not the ones. I've seen it here at this church. Many people that's on the outside, it looks good. But in their heart, you know they're not walking with God.
Amen.
You know what? I can't judge I can't judge the root.
Right.
But I can see the fruit.
Yes, Pastor.
A person is walking with the Lord, you ought to see some fruit in their lives.
That's right.
Here's one of my hangups. One of the ways that you know that a person is actually got a heart for the things of God. Let me say this, and I say it in all a loving way, and I still believe with all my heart. You know, one of the greatest examples of a person that loves God is the one that gives to God.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
Whether it be his times,
that's good.
Whether it be his talent,
yep.
Or whether it be his treasure.
Amen.
That's pretty good three, isn't it?
Yes, sir, it is, Pastor.
They have no time for the things of God. Their talents that they have, they don't use them for God.
Right, right.
And then they don't want to tithe to God.
Hmm.
That shows you where their heart is.
Right.
I'm just saying. But if you want help from somebody that's helping themselves, those are just some of the basic things that every Christian ought to be doing.
That's right.
And every one of us that are leaders in some fashion, we're parents or we're grandparents or we're aunts or we're uncles or we're friends or we're cousins or whatever to somebody that we have in our lives, we're giving counsel whether we believe that it is counseling or not. Because they're looking at your life.
That's right.
That's it. That's right.
That's good.
They are. And whether you believe it or not, They are.
Yes, sir.
They may be the only book you ever read.
Amen, Pastor. Amen.
And they're looking for good Christians. Let me get back online here. So not only do we need to refine our finding of godly counsels, counseling, this need to be someone who is willing, literally, again, let me say this, who is really literally be absolutely terrified of counseling you with anything but the Bible. Anything but that. Christ-centered advice is what it ought to be. Think about it this way. Here's another one. Redirect your focus in godly counsel. What am I talking about here? Listen with an open heart. The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Hear counsel and receive instructions that thy may be wise in the lateral end. In other words, when it comes to godly counsel, here's how you do it. Listen with an open heart.
Amen.
Be willing to listen. Don't go into counseling already with your mind made up.
Right.
Because you're wasting the counselor's time and you're wasting your own time. Pastor will tell you over and over, people come to his office and want counsel, and they've already made up their mind what they're going to do. So you're just wasting his time and you're wasting your time. Don't sit down and start to sell your own point of view. These are some of the things that are shared in our text as we were looking, not the text, but shared in our lesson. Don't even present your point of view when it comes to godly counsel. Because here's what happens. You don't give that same Holy Spirit of God that's in that person's life an opportunity to share with you how God has used that verse of scripture to impress their hearts with what you need to hear.
Amen. Pastor.
And you ought to want to be where that person has the opportunity to be honest with you about what they believe that has happened to them because it has happened to them.
Amen.
Because that's what you want. You want them to be able to be honest. And let me say this too, because we said it to the young people, don't be so closed-minded that they may hurt your feelings.
Amen.
Because they tell you the truth.
There you go. Amen.
Because if you honestly want to hear it, it may hurt your feelings.
That's right. That's right.
But it may be just what you need to hear. I don't believe that the Bible has always told us that old book again. I don't believe it always tells us what we want to hear, but it tells us what we need to hear.
That's right. That's right.
And we want our counselor to be able to do that. Because if you're not willing to be honest with them and allow them to be honest with you, you're not going to get the good counseling that you need. Because you put God in a box and then you box in your counselor. You want to be honest so that the Spirit of God can lead in their lives because you want him to lead you to confirmation. You want to lead both of y'all to confirmation. And if he can be honest, it's going to keep you from danger, deception, and error in your circumstances that you're facing if you don't allow them to honestly help you. Allow them to be transparent. Proverbs 20, verse 5 says, this counsel in the heart of a man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. Because it is. It's just that deep. There's so many things that can be found in this water. That's why I believe Psalms 1 says that he is planted like a tree by what? By the rivers of water. You got to draw it out and you got to find it. I grew up when we had to dig wells because the well filled up and they dried out. And you know what you got to do? You got to dig a little deeper.
Amen.
So that you can find it. That's what counsel is. It's just like that as the scripture describes it. Work at drawing out the real spiritual opinion or admonition of your counselor.
Yes, sir.
When you allow him to do that. And last but not least, rehearse your finding in your counsel. So how are we going to rehearse it? Confirmation is the first one. Either the counselor will confirm God's leading in your heart or there will be some contradiction.
Amen.
And again, let me say this. If it's confirmed in a multitude of counselors, it will be confirmed. If there's contradiction, then you may need to go back if you're not willing. Either you're going to make your decision based on what you believe is right to do, or you're going to make a decision based on what they have directed you that they believe that you should do. So you're going to have to make a choice now. But contradiction is a good thing. Because somewhere along the line, we may not have to readdress this issue. We may have to re-pray about it. Because God is not a God of confusion.
That's right.
And we need not be so prideful that I want my way, but I want God's way. And then what happens is that not only we get confirmation, there won't be no contradiction, but we'll have confidence that this is what God would have me to do in this situation. You know, some things are just written black and white that you ought to do because the Bible clearly spells it out. But there are times when we have to get into the Word of God and find the principles that we can follow that's going to help us with making the right decisions, because the principle is still there. And that's going to help us. And it don't take a rocket science to figure it out when I say that Jeroboam didn't make a good decision. It wasn't because the counseling wasn't there. It was because he chose not to follow it. And it led to his demise. And it wasn't God's fault. And not at all. And here later, we're going to look at some, I believe, some good examples of what godly counsel will lead to when we get that. Just like when we talked about God's will for your life. We're going to look at what good counseling to do. And how we can know that it's from God. The next time.
Amen.
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 But let me give you some good at counsel tonight. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure that if you die, you go to heaven, this is the counsel that I have for you tonight. The Bible says, if we confess with our mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible tells us that for God so loved the world,
yes,
that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. What about you tonight? Are you 100% sure? Because this same counsel may tell you what to do, but that same counsel tells you how heaven can be your home. And that's the greatest counsel that's found in that book. Because he can't help you, and the Holy Spirit can't give you the guidance, the direction, and the counsel until he resides in you. And the Bible tells us the natural man understandeth not the things of God, because there's foolishness unto him. But you got to have the Spirit of God in you. And the only way that you can have the Spirit of God in you is to be born again. Not of water, but of the Spirit. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. See, that's good counsel.
Yes, sir, it
is. I'm glad somebody took a Bible years ago and showed me how I can be saved. And you know what Pastor and I said, and don't say it jokingly or disrespectful for somebody that doesn't know Christ. It's just amazing to me how easy it is for people to believe a lie than it is to believe the truth.
Wow.
I feel sorry for that young man.
Yes.
He has a lot of zeal, but no knowledge.
That's right, Pastor.
I'd much rather have something that I can be sure of than to have something to hope for. I don't have to hope for my home in heaven. I already know I have a home in heaven. That's the difference. And you can live with confidence that this old book is still true. It's still good counsel.
Amen.
Let's bow for prayer. Father, thank you again for tonight. Thank you for your blessings. God, thank you for the privilege that we have to be here tonight, to be in your house, to hear your word and the instructions that we have received tonight. God, I thank you for this time that we've had with our young people, and what a blessing this has been in my life throughout these last few weeks to share with them the things when it comes to counsel, because I needed to hear some of the things that have been laid out here in this study that has been a blessing to my life. And I pray tonight, Lord, that the things were said would not fall on deaf ears, that we would not be just hearers of the word, but we be doers of the word. We're going to ask our pianist to play a hymn of invitation. And maybe God is speaking in your heart tonight, as we shared earlier. If you're here tonight and you're not 100% sure that heaven would be your home, let somebody here tonight take this book and show you how you can be saved. You know, the worst thing that you could do here tonight is to leave here not being assured of heaven being your home. Nothing that we said could be of any great help to you without the salvation that's in Jesus Christ. And maybe you're here tonight as a Christian and God has spoken in your heart about something that you need to do when it comes to godly counsel. The altar is open. Let's all stand at our feet tonight. May God work in our midst in a special way. Father, we do pray for that one that may be here tonight without Christ. God, we pray for those tonight that you've spoken their hearts in some way, some form, or some fashion when it comes to godly counsel. I don't believe it would be important to us, but it is, because you speak of it in your word. How we need it to confirm, not contradiction, that we can have confidence and what you'd have us to do. Not just for our young people, but may it be so in our lives, even as adults, that are working, ministering, teaching, instructing our young people. Bless now, I pray tonight. I'm going to ask our pastor to come.